Trevor Zamparelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
I'm very, very excited. She is back and she is here for a very different reason because we're going to do this.
Jen's Friends.
Just Friends.
Jen's Friends of a Friday. Today I have Taryn Devere in. Good morning, miss. It's good to have you back on the show. How are you?
I'm great, Jen.
It's great to have you here. Now, we are going to look back at the big stories of the week on by and talk about, well, the big stories and what's going on. Now, you look phenomenal, as you always do. How is the jewellery making business, by the way? How's all that?
Yeah, it's going okay. I've kind of, my object dress challenge has kind of overtaken my making jewellery business, but you know.
Yeah, but okay. You've gone completely viral, as they say. Yeah. Just to explain to the listeners why that's happened and what you've been up to.
Okay, so in January, I set myself the challenge of dressing inspired by a different item in my house every day.
Okay.
So basically things like toilet cleaner. So I was like W5 Lidl toilet cleaner, yellow, red, green, white. So I just created this outfit in those colours. So it's kind of wearable clothes, like stylish clothes, not like a cardboard costume. It's not like Halloween.
No. Yeah. I mean, you do a phenomenal job. You're very creative. I mean, we've all seen the pictures. We need to talk about fashion disasters as well, because I came in here on Monday after Dance with the Stars, and people had a kind of a love-hate feeling with my outfit, as they do every Monday, which is fine. But luckily, I don't think... for me, it wasn't a disaster. It was a complete disaster for a lot of people who hated the outfit. But have you had any fashion disasters? Can we start with the knicker elastic, it says here in my notes here. The knicker elastic story.
Okay, I have a lot of fashion disaster stories. I think, I don't know, maybe I'm alone in this, you'll tell me, but I think every woman has like a favourite pair of knickers.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had this like favourite pair of knickers, right? And the elastic in them was going. And I thought to myself, right, I'm going to get one more wear out of these knickers, and then I'm going to have to call it a day, and they're going to have to go
in the bin. It's a sad day when you have to do that.
It is. But I was like, one more wear. So anyway, I wore them. It was summer. I was wearing a dress. I went to my local village. I went into the spa and I was buying some groceries. My arms were full of groceries. I was in the line and all of a sudden I realized that the elastic had gone in my knickers and I could feel them starting to fall.
Oh no.
So I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? So I quickly put my elbow to the side of my body to try and hold my knickers up on one side, and I'm holding all the groceries. I'm in the line. There's all these people behind me. And I was thinking, oh my God, what am I going to do? Next thing, the lady calls me and I was like, how am I going to walk? Like, how am I going to walk over there with my knickers falling down? So I had to do this huge straddle walk where I sort of put my legs out as wide as I could while I carried all these groceries.
Do you still have those knickers?
No, I don't. I had to get rid of them.
Oh, you said goodbye. It's interesting you said that, because we all have those underpants that are just like, those knickers were like
the favourite undies.
The favourite undies.
Yeah.
My husband sometimes gives out to me. He's like, you have had those knickers for years. I'm like, well, aren't you lucky? I can still get into them.
Well, I feel like you're lucky that they're still staying up, because I think I really learnt my lesson on that one. Like, I will never, ever take that chance again.
No,
I was mortified.
Don't take that chance again. Yeah. Favorite knickers, 51552. Let us know. You can describe them to me and Taryn if you want. We need to talk about cool jobs because we were talking about women with really unusual jobs on the show this week, because I was chatting to a crane driver, Kate Fahey.
Okay.
She's 18. She's a crane driver.
Amazing.
Have you ever done a job that would be considered a bit blokey?
Well, I used to work for a wool farmer, and I used to class wool.
Oh.
So that's like a thing where when you shear the sheep, you have to then grade the wool, and then you put the wool in different grades and they put it all in big bales, and you have to make sure you get it very right, because what they do is they take a little sample out, the purchasers, and if that sample isn't what you've said it is, then they won't pay for the whole bale. Yes.
How did you, is that a job you just kind of fall into? You just kind of
volunteer?
Yeah,
like I was kind of working on an organic farm. I also worked on the same farm as a pak choi a pak choy picker.
Oh, a pak choy picker. Yeah. I love pak choy. Okay.
I have a funny story about that, actually.
Go on.
This is a little bit kind of a little bit illegal, but you know. So this was in Australia.
Oh, now I'm worried.
And it was in the hills of near Nimbin, which is a place very much known for marijuana. And anyway, I was working for this organic farmer and I was living on the farm. And we used to have these like bonfires out and we'd all have a drink and whatever. And you would hear the infrared choppers come over and they'd be looking for the marijuana plants. And so the farmer would be like, quick, everybody go and grab the plants. And we had to go get the pot plants and put them underneath the house when the infrared chopper went over. So yeah, you know, a little bit of, you know,
well, I wouldn't say that
hiding
blokey.
The drugs.
I'd say that's more that dangerous. And criminal. Okay. Moving swiftly along, let's talk about new friends. We had so many lovely calls on this turn about just people being friends with a lot older people in such a huge age gap.
Yeah.
Have you got any pals much older or even younger than you, would you say?
I do. One of my best friends is a 78-year-old man and he is a farmer. And he is my neighbour. He won't want me to name him because he's a little bit embarrassed that we're such good friends.
Okay.
Because he's really conservative and I'm obviously like really out there. So he calls over all the time and has cups of tea with me and we sit out on my step and we have great big chats and I always bake things for him and then he drops me around. Like I'll come home and there's a big bag of turf with a wee note from him, you know.
Aww.
And so he drops me around turf and he drops me around logs and we have a beautiful friendship. Like, I adore him.
That's lovely to hear.
Yeah.
Because nothing to do with the age gap, but it's difficult to make friends as an adult, isn't it? It's a very different thing. You really, really have to kind of put yourself out there a little bit.
Yeah, you do. I think it can be more difficult. And especially like I find it a bit difficult because I am neurodivergent. So I can struggle a bit with a thing like small talk. Like I'm grand in this type of situation. You know, I'm kind of like, I can be on, you know, but if I'm out in a social situation, like last night I was at Marion Keys book launch and I was like, okay, practice your small talk, what you've learned about small talk and the things that you need. Now you need to ask people questions and you need, you know, so.
What did you call it there? You said it's what did you say?
Neurodivergent.
Okay.
So like most people are neurotypical. And then there's people who are neurodivergent. So basically our brains just work a bit differently.
Mm.
And so there's things like small talk and kind of the mechanics of conversation that can be quite difficult for people who are neurodivergent. And it can be harder for us sometimes to pick up on the cues of other people or to know when things are appropriate. Like sometimes I'll say things that are...
Drug story.
Did I tell the drug
story
inappropriately?
You didn't. It was brilliant. But I get that. Do you know what? I think that probably goes undiagnosed for a lot of people, does it?
And Especially women, because women are really good at masking at kind of, and that's what I have done my whole life is I have surrounded myself with people who are really charming and charismatic, like Nadine Reed. And, you know, we go places and I just stand a little bit behind her and she charms everybody and I just smile and, oh, yeah, yeah.
Because she's so out
I'm with
there,
her.
Isn't she?
Yeah. I'm with her and, you know, you just, you know, listen to Nadine and, you know.
Yeah, she's no fear of that. No.
No
fear of small talk. She can small talk till the cows come
home. She really can. She's amazing at it. So I kind of watch people like her and like Andrew, my partner, he's really good at it too. And I kind of watch them and go, okay, what do they do? And then I try and kind of copy it.
Do you remember getting somebody saying, this is what it is? This is why you feel like this? Do you remember that day? Did you go see a doctor?
It's actually from one of my children because one of my children has been going through the process of getting diagnosed with autism.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, I realized that I was like, oh my God, I am autistic.
Isn't it funny? I hear this so often, Taryn, of people who are getting their kids diagnosed for on the spectrum somewhere or whatever it is, or whatever help they need. And the parents are going, God, that's me.
Yeah.
I do exactly that.
Yeah.
And they've just been living their lives undiagnosed and be quite emotional, I would say.
It is actually. And it really is because you sort of, I feel a sort of sense of grief for my younger self that I didn't get the support that I really needed. And so you have to kind of make your peace with that, I guess. And that's a tough one. But it's also a gift because like there it all is in black and white for me. I'm like, oh my God, all these things. And me feeling like a weirdo my whole life and thinking there's something like I'm just don't fit in this world. And then I see it all there and I'm like, oh, there's a name for what I have. There's a name for me. There's reasons That's that it. I do these things, you know. So it has been very healing, but There's also a bit of grief attached to it. But I do, it does happen a lot because some of these things have a hereditary aspect.
Really?
Yeah.
So just going back to that, you were at Marion Key's book launch last night. Did you have to kind of psych yourself up for that? And
I did, especially because I was
get
going...
Get the toolbook of what you might need to do in a social
Because I was going
environment.
Alone as well. So I was like, okay. And my thing is always kind of, well, I look fabulous, right?
Yeah,
so I'm always like, well, in a worst case scenario, I'll just sit in the corner and look fabulous. And then I'll be able to say, well, I looked fabulous all night. but, you know, I did kind of just sit in the one spot all night. But luckily, other people came and talked to me. Like, people just kept coming over to chat to me. Oh, I follow you on Twitter. I follow you on Instagram. So that was lovely. You know, that kind of did the work for me because I wouldn't have been brave enough to actually get up and go and find people and be like, oh, hi, you know, can I join your chat?
I know.
So awkward.
Yeah. Well, look, it's amazing that you did it. And it's great to have you here in studio talking about, you know, hiding drugs and going to book launches. You're incredible. And always look incredible as well. Taryn, thank you so much for coming in. I know it's a long way for you to come as well, all the way from Donegal. Where can people see your mad outfits, by the way?
So Instagram is at Taryn Devere, TarynDevere.
There we go.
Jennifer Zaffarelli.
Weekday morning from 9
on 2FM.